Hey guys, and welcome to something that is new for Marketing in the Madness. So these episodes are coming to you in collaboration with Madfest. As part of that collaboration, I am going to be interviewing some incredible female leaders, female founders, and men across the industry who are leading the charge and leading the change in our industry that will enable women to reach their full potential and address the long-standing inequalities that still exist, not just in the marketing industry, but across every single industry. So if you're interested in joining me and helping make the world a fairer, more inclusive place, then keep listening because today's episode is going to be a cracker. Hi guys, and welcome back to Marketing in the Madness. Now, today's episode is one of my, well, it's kind of one of my favorite bits of content to record because it's about something I'm incredibly passionate about, which is what needs to change across, well, every single business, but specifically in the marketing and the tech world to empower us women and give us fairer and more equal opportunities in the workplace. Because sadly, because of, I don't know, humanity and how the world has been for the last however many hundreds of thousands of years, we're still on the back foot. And there's a lot of change that still needs to happen to enable women to flourish in the workplace. So I'm going to get straight to it. I've got the fantastic Charlotte Todd with me from British Gas. Charlotte has had a fantastic career. If you didn't listen to last week's episode, do go and listen because having led e-com, digital and marketing strategies at some of, I don't know, the most famed beauty and retail brands, that the ones that I love, like Net-a-Porter, Elemis. She's now leading the digital and retail. Well, I'm going to say it wrong, Charlotte. You say what you do. So much easier because I always fluff it up.
It is a long title. I am the director for e-commerce, marketing and strategy for British Gas.
Fab. There we go. She knows what she does better than I do.
That helps.
But you've achieved some amazing things in your career, which, you know, sadly, often is harder for us women to achieve than men.
Yeah.
And I know from previous conversations, there have been a few challenges. And something I think you said to me previously, which really struck a chord, is, you know, because you are beautiful and blonde.
You're too kind.
You are, though, it's true. I think when you are a beautiful woman, you know, whether you've got blonde hair, brunette hair, whatever, you will, especially worse for us blondes, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I had a stint of being brown. It was not great, but yeah.
Yeah, same. Much better. Much better blonde. But I think because of, you know, having blonde hair does probably make it even worse. You walk into a room and you're prejudged. You know, people, what do they say? Is it first 3 seconds that you have to make an impression? And when you look beautiful and stylish and you've got blonde hair, I've had it. I was speaking about this last week. I don't know if I've spoken about this on the podcast before, but I'm going to speak about it now. I've actually been mistaken in a business meeting twice, once at the Ivy and once at the Mayfair, whereas with, at the time, my bosses, for a high-class prostitute.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like someone came over to me and basically offered me money and was asking me if I was Eastern European.
Like, outrageous.
When I'm sat waiting in a business meeting, like I used to work for drinks brands. And so I would frequent, you know, lovely bars and stuff in London where I guess maybe high class prostitutes. Yeah.
It makes me sick.
Just put me on the bloody back foot when I'm in a meeting because I'm then going into a meeting
thinking.
Well,
you're then really subconscious, right?
Like,
just think. And then I think you have, I don't know whether it's a woman thing or whether it is a being a blonde thing, but then you're constantly thinking, oh my God, what are they thinking? I've now really got to up my game to make sure that I don't say anything that makes me look a certain way, sound a certain way.
Yeah. So it just, you have to try, and men will never understand that. I don't think, rarely if I've been with a man and he's been accused of being a gigolo. Like, it's just not going to happen quite as often, but like it does. Cause and there's, that's one example. I know you've had similar where you then, you're starting, like, exactly like you say, you're thinking, oh my gosh, I need to show up extra. And that was with my boss. So I'm thinking, yeah. Oh my God, does my boss think I look really slutty or something? Yeah, and this isn't me. I mean, I have got quite a short skirt on today, but yeah.
I have a short skirt story too.
Yeah. But why can't I wear a bloody short skirt if I want to?
And you absolutely should, right? Yeah. There is no reason why you shouldn't. I had a similar situation, and I wasn't that fresh out of uni. And I worked for a fairly large IT firm, and I had a skirt on and a white shirt and a jumper. And my boss at the time said to me, you can't wear that. You're like a naughty schoolgirl. I mean, I pretty much was a schoolgirl. I think I was like 21, 22. Yeah. And I thought nothing of it. And upon reflection over the years, like, when is that ever okay?
But you've remembered it.
Yeah.
It must have struck something.
I felt uncomfortable. And it made me feel really self-conscious.
Yeah.
Like, well, because I have a skirt, my outfit of choice today makes you feel a certain way.
But
like,
wouldn't it be amazing if, and this is what I really want from this podcast, is if you're listening and you're 21 or 22 or, you know,
wear that skirt.
19, wear that skirt. But also what I wish I'd done, and I think the world today is getting a lot better, is when those kind of things happen to me, like I've had men put their hands on my knees in meetings, I wish I'd said to them, Fuck off.
Yeah. 100%.
What are you doing? And call them out. Whereas I'd be sat in a meeting with someone touching my leg under the table.
And you're too afraid.
I'd be too afraid to say anything.
Yeah. What are you doing? I completely agree. I almost feel, and I don't know whether it's because I'm a boy mum, my little one's only three, but, and I don't know whether it's because I'm a working mum who often will sit in a boardroom, primarily with men because I'm in the gas industry. I feel a level of responsibility to tell my son all of these things.
Yeah.
To ensure that he doesn't grow up thinking it's ever okay to comment on any way that a woman looks or to touch her, even if it is in a friendly, oh, are you okay? Or like, let me help you pick up your pen. No, I just don't know. There is an element of the education piece that needs to happen and needs to happen now in younger generations.
Yeah. And
that's,
I think,
what obviously, like.
But you're doing exactly the right thing, right? We need male allies. We need, you know, the younger generations to be brought up differently to how we were brought up. Yeah. Because, you know, I mean, I was very lucky. I had a very strong grandmother who had a fantastic career and, you know, was probably quite pioneering for her time. Sure. But lots of people would have watched very different, you know, as a child, you would have seen a very different, you know, a grandfather that worked, a grandmother that didn't work.
Yeah.
Times are changing. Our children are seeing very different dynamics at home. The opportunity for change, I believe, is now.
I completely agree. There is definitely still a stigma. I assume you find the same thing with working mums.
Yes.
I definitely still get you've
gone
back to work full time. I mean, I went back after 6 weeks. I love it. I missed it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can still parent and do a day a week. And I worked, like I said, for two fantastic women who were like, sure, I'll come back and, you know, do what you need to do and have those adult conversations. But the judgment's still very real. Like, I had a comment that, you know, you're missing out on the early years. I'm not, because I'm still home for bedtime.
Yeah. Like, but it's fine for the guy to do that.
Like, oh, 100%.
They can miss out on the early years, but
I can't wait for a week. But if I work away one night a week, God forbid.
Yeah,
he's not going to know who his mother is. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that comes from, you know, my ex mother-in-law, I think, said once, I'm probably calling her out on the podcast. Whoops. but we're doing all sorts of bloopers this time. But, you know, she was like, oh, I don't understand these mums who go straight back to work. But why not?
Yeah.
If that's what you want to do, I get it. I'm very much a work for focus person. We talked about this off air, weren't we, just before. Like, my daughter's done incredibly well. I have not been a mum at home nurturing, helping her do her homework. Yeah. I've been a mum running a business. And even before I was running a business, having a career, always at work. Yeah. That was always, not saying she isn't my priority. Absolutely she is. And I probably give myself the excuse that, you know, I prioritize work because I'm doing it for Lola. But I probably am quite selfishly doing it for me. But then I'm a happier mum.
100%. And she wouldn't be as successful as she currently is if you were staying at home all the time.
And I was.
But why should you?
Yeah, I'm giving her almost by not parenting her this by not being there as much. I'm giving her a great sense of independence. But I think you've got to parent how you want to parent, and those judgments and that, like, I think the world is getting there. Like, you know, we're much more open about things now, about, you know, sexuality, about, you know, gender biases are getting better, slowly but surely. But this is built on, you know, there are still grandparents around that will be judging and making those nasty comments that are not needed.
And I want Louis to grow up being like, my mum worked really hard. Like, I want him to know that it's okay if his wife wants to go to work six weeks after they've had a baby, or his partner, or whatever, that's all right. And you need to help, you need to support, you need to encourage, because why? Honestly, I would be the worst mother in the world if I sat at home all day with him. I love him. He is my world.
Yeah.
But if I sat at home all day, my God, I'd be bored shitless.
Yeah, same.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, but some people can.
And that's cool.
That's fine. We're all different.
That's absolutely fine.
I think that's the thing. Sure. You've got to let people... It's the same with anything and everything, isn't it? You've got to let people be and, you know, do what they want to do. So you've worked at some pretty interesting companies.
I have.
My last question on this is, any awesome policies that you've seen? Because, you know, you'd hope in some of these retail businesses that are probably, you know, the business that you're in at the moment, maybe slightly more men, which probably has different challenges. But are there any fantastic policies? And if not, don't worry. Let's say they're not. And let's make some up. Like, have you worked anywhere where there's been some good? Because I do think that's something that's got to change. There's some, you know, I've heard of. Never actually met anyone who's worked at any of the places, but some, you know, I know that, for instance, Google has some great, you know, you can bring your kids in, they have a crash, and it's probably just because they want to trap them in Google and they want them to work all the time. But
I never want to bring my kids to that. I drop them at nursery and I pick them up later.
Yeah, that's fine. But, you know, there are some things out there that are being done that, you know, the assumption is that it's been done for good and that is trying to make their kind of work-life balance
a little bit better.
Yeah.
British Gas, in fairness, are great for it. Considering the amount of women or female businesses I've been in, Net-a-Porter, Misguided, et cetera, et cetera, British Gas is by far the best in terms of maternity pay, as far as I'm aware. I'm definitely not going for a second. But in terms of the ability to work from home, like the inclusivity, the amount they did on International Women's Day, like the women who are in the business are absolute powerhouses. They are really good at making everyone feel included. So from that sense, yes, everywhere else. And I don't know whether it is just because you're in a female-led business or predominantly female. Things like maternity pay are shocking.
Yeah.
I mean, I never got maternity pay. My husband would always say, it's so frustrating because you've worked all of these years. Nobody wants to employ a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
Because, or you go in knowing, I'm never going to get this interview, because if I need to be honest and say, listen, I'm pregnant, I'm 6 months pregnant or whatever. And the women that I worked for, I was really honest and was like, look, I'm pregnant. And they were like, absolutely fine, get on board. Insane. But I was contracting at the time. So, and my husband would be like, it's so frustrating. I've watched you really, really graft. And you're not even supported from a maternity pay perspective. So, yeah, it still happens. It's awful.
It's shit how it makes you feel. And someone that's done so well, you know, it's just...
Fair.
It's not fair how it made you feel. I want to give you like a little hug. Thanks. Consider yourself hugs. But it's just so fucking, it's such a load of crap. I've had similar happen to me and was also made redundant. But I mean, whilst I was on maternity leave, I was terrified when I was telling them that I was pregnant. And I did actually end up going legal on them and getting a bit of money. Yeah. Nothing exciting. I think we're like 2 or 3 months pay. But because I was like, this isn't bloody fair. And it wasn't fair that I felt scared. You know, again, you should be really excited. You're growing a human. Like, that should be one of the things that we're able to share openly. And I think, unfortunately, in the workplace, as women, a guy can go and tell everyone, oh yeah, it's fine. Yeah, because it's not going to affect him and his work. But as women, we can't. So I do think, you know, the policies that we have within business have to change.
Yeah, it's just, it's life priorities, right? Like, I say the same to my team. I'm like, you're here 5 days a week, so you might as well be happy. But fundamentally, you still need to go and live. It isn't just about here, and your choices that you make outside of work shouldn't be every, like, you shouldn't be thinking, I can't get pregnant because of work.
Yeah, yeah. Because
that's your life. Go and get pregnant. Go and have four kids. Yeah. Go and do what you need to do and be here because you love it.
Yeah, and we'll look after you. Yeah, and we understand that we might have to get a contractor in for a year whilst you're off having your baby. Yeah. That's fine. I think, yeah.
Because they're the things that matter, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then if you've got happy staff that feel supported. Yes. And I do think that having female leaders in the business does help with that kind of stuff because, like you say, the two females that you then went to work with whilst you were pregnant had a very different outlook.
Completely different.
From the man.
Yeah, completely different. And it's also those conversations. I mean, I've been also quite lucky at British Gas, but the amount of women on my team who will message and be like, oh God, I'm so, so sorry, but Fred, I've got Fred. Like,
God, Fred.
Fred's really sick again. And I'm like, I get it because I'm getting a nursery call pretty much every week at the moment.
I'm with you
and
on
I'm
that.
Not ever thinking, oh, for God's sake, they just want an afternoon off. I'm like, I get it. We're all doing
it's
our best and juggling here.
Yeah.
But I think that I was quite fortunate because my boss had kids, so he kind of got it. But it's just the anxiety that just shouldn't be there. Like, you take the time off because you're parenting a sick child.
Yeah, like, I'm not having a day off.
You're not going for a manicure. God. I mean, I'd also be like, high five if you were.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Honestly, I've had so many similar things. I had to take my daughter once because school refused to let her in. And we had a big pitch on when I worked at a digital agency and she had nits. And because she'd had nits for under 24 hours, even though I treated her and she was fine. So my boss was like, you can work from home or just bring her in and we'll get one of the apprentices to look after Lola so you can do the pitch. I was like, awesome. In she comes.
With a nits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, give all the whole office nits. It's fine.
They changed the policy after
that. Oh my God.
Come in, but don't bring any knitted children.
Yeah. No, she was fine. Charlotte, thank you so much. I could literally talk to you forever. The content today has just been amazing. So big thank you for joining me.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.